Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 is the number to jump on board. We'll take you all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And we got a loaded show for you today coming up in the final hour of the show on a Tuesday at 5:35 p.m. Eastern time. The former Notre Dame and Duke quarterback now getting set to hear his name called at some point on probably Friday or maybe even Saturday of the NFL draft, Riley Leonard is going to join us. Stu Kovacs is back. Of course, Stu is back because Riley Leonard's going to join us. And we know Stu is a big Notre Dame honk. And Moist Mike here with me as well. We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. Thank God we are 2 days away from the NFL draft. There's a little info on Shedeur Sanders today. I think the latest info on Shedeur Sanders is this. I'm not sure who the Saints are going to pick at 9 on Thursday night, but I think I could safely say that it won't be Shedeur Sanders. Now, that is coming from Jeff Duncan, who is the longtime columnist talking about the Saints and covering the Saints for NOLA.com. So if that Jeff Duncan saying this, I think that's a pretty safe assumption that when we go through the draft and you see with the first overall pick, Cam Ward go number one, I know there's some Peter Schrager trade chatter today about the Browns and the Giants potentially moving off 2 and 3. I don't buy that. I think the Browns are taking Travis Hunter. I think that the New York Giants are taking Abdul Carter. And I think the Patriots are taking Alligator Arms, which people think I don't like Will Campbell because I say that. I just find it to be a funny nickname. And I do think Will Campbell is going to be a heck of a player in the NFL. But I would be pleasantly surprised if we get to Thursday night when the draft starts, and I'll be a good company guy here. JR and Bart will be doing the draft show. JR will be in Atlanta. Bart is actually going to be on the site of the draft at legendary Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So he'll be broadcasting somewhere there for the NFL draft. So when you're listening to the draft show and you hear the commissioner getting up to the stage, boo, you suck. Even though Roger Goodell, I don't really hate him these days. I used to can't stand his guts, but I think he's the best commissioner in sports. But when you get to the first pick, it's going to be Cam Ward. The second pick is going to be Travis Hunter. The third pick is going to be Abdul Carter. And then the fourth pick is going to be Will Campbell. If we are coming in on Friday talking about something that isn't just stated or someone that wasn't just stated in the first four picks, I will be very surprised. So really the Jaguars at 5 is when the draft starts. Right now, I still think it's going to be Mason Graham. You've heard a little Ashton Jeanty. You've heard a little Tet McMillan, so you could get a little ooh-ah reaction there and see if it changes, but I will still go with Mason Graham. In at 6, I think the Raiders, as long as Ashton Jeanty there, they're going to scoop him up and they're going to take him. Then with the 7th overall selection, could you get an Armin Membu? Could you go offensive line if you're the Jets? Yes, I think it's going to be Tyler Warren. At 8, I think it's going to be Jalen Walker out of Georgia going to the Carolina Panthers. But even if I'm wrong on a few of those picks, let's just say I'm right that the Browns, the Giants, and the Raiders don't take Shedeur Sanders. Then at 9, don't be sitting here anticipating that the Saints are going to take Shedeur. And you know it and I know it. This is going to happen. Whatever draft coverage you watch, I'll say with the 9th overall pick, right before they get the announcement, people will go, oh, is this a landing spot for Shedeur? Well, Jeff Duncan just said, I'm not sure who the Saints are going to pick at 9 on Thursday night, but I think I could safely say that it won't be Shedeur Sanders. So once Shedeur doesn't go at 9, Shedeur is already the story of the draft. I think it's the biggest story of the draft. It's the most intriguing story of the draft. Then after that, it becomes when will Shedeur go? And as we have laid out here for really the last week, the Steelers, I think, are the safety blanket at 21. Do the Steelers maybe move up a few spots to get him? It's possible. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21 is the absolute farthest Shedeur Sanders will fall. Remember, Mike Tomlin supposedly really liked Shedeur Sanders after their meeting together. So that's where I think he will end up going. But could you see a team like the Giants or the Browns or the Raiders or the Saints make their selection at 2, 3, 6, or 9, and then find a way to jump past and move back up before the Steelers take at 21, I do think it is possible. But that's the latest on Shedeur Sanders right now. The Saints are not expected to draft him at 9. And coming in on Friday, I could guarantee you this. Well, you know, I shouldn't say I could guarantee you it, because last year we had Michael Penix go 8. Last year we had Bo Nix go 12. And those were things that were surprising. But I would be pleasantly surprised if when we get into the studio on Friday after the first round is in the books and we get on the air at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time, if we're not talking about Shedeur Sanders in some capacity. So that's the latest on the draft. When we get to quarterbacks for this upcoming season that are not associated with the draft, well, Brock Purdy did something today that I don't know if it was unexpected, but it's news. So Brock Purdy is in the midst of negotiations for a new contract. There is some sort of stalemate. One week you get a report they're nowhere close, and another week you say, okay, they're not that far away is what people think. Well, this is from earlier this morning from Adam Schefter. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy, who has been discussing a new deal with the San Francisco 49ers, is in attendance today for the start of the team's offseason workout programs. Some thought Purdy might have stayed away without a new deal, but that's not the route that Purdy chose. So I respect that from Brock Purdy. You're being the nice guy. You're being the good teammate. You're the leader of that football team. People will question what you can do in the NFL. Right now, I don't think Brock Purdy is going to get... I don't think Brock Purdy right now is a top 10 quarterback in the league, but I do think he's going to get easily top 10 money. I think he's going to get 52, 53, 54, 55, you know, maybe even as high as $56 million a year. It will be in that range of 52 to probably $56 million a year for Brock Purdy. Now, you could sit here and say he's not worth it, and I understand it. You could sit here and say, Zach, what other choice do they have? They clearly like Brock Purdy. He has been their guy. He has been to an NFC Championship game. He has also been to an additional NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl. I do believe that ultimately, especially with the hand that the 49ers have already showed us and they tipped their hand, they made so many moves to open up salary cap space to accommodate who? A new Brock Purdy contract. Now, the real fun starts with Brock Purdy once he gets that contract. But what happens if maybe they don't get a deal done this offseason? I think they will. But if they don't get a deal done this offseason, Brock Purdy is still the most intriguing quarterback in the NFL this year, one way or another. Because if they pay him, people are going to have the easy target on his back, and they're going to say, hey, can he live up to that contract? Especially with some pieces getting taken away from him this offseason. If they don't pay him, it will be the ultimate prove-it spot for Brock Purdy this year. So I'm very intrigued by one Brock Purdy. So let's do this right out of the gate. Who are the five most intriguing quarterbacks entering the NFL in 2025? Not the best, but who are the five most intriguing? And then I'll have Stu and I'll have Samter jump in the conversation. They'll give me a quarterback each. I'll go 5-1 here, not 1-5. So 5 least intriguing to 1 being the most intriguing. A guy that I just mentioned who's expected to now fall on Thursday night and is expected to fall out of the top 5, fall out of the top 10, fall out of the top 15, and may even fall out of the top 20, I'm saying Shedeur Sanders. There's been no buildup really with Cam Ward in this NFL draft. A month probably after the college football season, it became clear that Cam Ward in all likelihood was going to be the first quarterback off the draft board, and then it became crystal clear a few weeks after that that the Tennessee Titans were going to take Cam Ward with the number 1 overall pick. But there has been a lot of back and forth and a lot of discourse around Shedeur Sanders. And I think a lot of it has been unfair. I think Shedeur Sanders is a lot better of a quarterback than the way that he's getting talked about right now. And I've sat here, and I'm sure you guys are probably tired of me talking about this. I've said I thought that the Cleveland Browns should take him at 2, and if the Browns don't take him at 2, I think the Giants should take him at 3. And I then said, oh, if the Giants don't take him at 3, then the Raiders should take him at 6. And I said, oh, if the Raiders don't take him at 6, then the Saints should take him at 9. I said that. I said that all along. I started at 2, then moved to 3, then moved to 6, then moved to 9. There is a difference on what I think should happen and what will happen. Those words should and will, you're probably sick and tired of me saying those words on this radio when it comes to Shedeur Sanders. I think he should be the second quarterback taken. I think he should be the second overall pick. But I have already waved the white flag and acknowledged not only that it will be two, he won't be three, he won't be six, he won't be nine. So if he falls to 21, and if he does go to the Steelers, you're walking in with DK Metcalf and George Pickens and also Pat Freiermuth and also Mike Tomlin as the coach and Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator. And you have a team that you know is good enough on paper to make the postseason. And you want to see if Shador can prove people wrong and can quickly prove people wrong, because I do think, and we'll get to more of this later in the next segment, that if Shador is the draft pick for the Steelers at 21, I do think then they're out at Aaron Rodgers. So wherever Shador goes, I think he's one of the top five most intriguing quarterbacks in the NFL entering this season, because it's when is he going to play? Who is he going to play for? And also, is he going to be able to shut some people up early? Or will the criticism that he received be justified on the early returns in year one? So I put Shador Sanders in at number five. In at number four for the five most intriguing quarterbacks entering the 2025 season, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback. I think that if we put Justin Herbert in a draft of all the quarterbacks in the league, he wouldn't go in the first five picks, but he would go in the first 10 picks. And there would be a lot of people that would want Justin Herbert as their quarterback. You could do a lot worse than Justin Herbert at the NFL quarterback. I don't know how much better you can do. Like, clearly, Mahomes is better. Clearly, Josh Allen is better. Clearly, Lamar Jackson is better. Clearly, Joe Burrow is better. I think Jalen Hurts is better. But I would say outside of those four that I mentioned first, there is at least a healthy debate on where Justin Herbert can be ranked. The problem with Justin Herbert is we used to use an excuse, oh, you had Brandon Staley doing his yoga poses and being a terrible coach. That held back Justin Herbert. Now you have Jim Harbaugh. You didn't have a ton of weapons last year. You don't have the greatest weapons ever entering this season, but you do have Ladd McConkey, who is a very good wide receiver in the NFL, and he proved that last year. But what else are you going to do? And I would have liked to have seen them be a little bit more active in free agency when it came to addressing the wide receiver room with the Los Angeles Chargers. Because now you walk into the season still with Quentin Johnston and Mike Williams. So can you find a way, like Emeka Buka, if he's on the board there in this draft and you could go get him, I think that would be a very good move. I did like the Najee Harris signing this offseason. I think he will fit well in the Jim Harbaugh regime there over with the Los Angeles Chargers. But you got your feet wet. You outperformed expectations last year if you're Justin Herbert, but the season ends on such a sour note with the turnover machine that you were in that playoff game up against the Houston Texans team that wasn't really all that special when you take a look back at last season. So now this is time for Justin Herbert to go from being good, from going to being very good, to utilizing the Jim Harbaugh connection and becoming a great, becoming one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, an elite quarterback, because he has all the tools to do that. In a number three, in the five most intriguing quarterbacks entering 2025, Shador Sanders in at five, Justin Herbert's in at four. I'm putting Caleb Williams in at three. Caleb Williams last year got outplayed by Jaden Daniels. Quite frankly, I also think Caleb Williams got outplayed by Drake May and also by Bo Nix. He is supposed to be a generational talent. He is supposed to be the savior of the Chicago Bears. You have a new head football coach in Ben Johnson. You got three new offensive linemen in Jackson and Dolman and Joe Tooney. We'll see who you're able to add coming up on Thursday night, picking in at number 10. And you also have DJ Moore, and I think Rome Odunze will have a nice bounce back season here in your number two. There's no more excuses for Caleb Williams. You have to be the guy this year in Chicago. You need to start showing that, because they got you the right coach, right? They got you a coach that fits you well, and they also improved your offensive line, and you have enough weapons there. In at number two, let me play you some audio from yesterday. It's J.J. McCarthy. This is Jason Avant with us yesterday talking about what he anticipates from J.J. McCarthy this year with the Minnesota Vikings in his first true season as a starter for school.
He's about to set the league on fire. J.J. McCarthy, when you think about it from the outsider perspective, you let go Sam Darnold And then you didn't see one single Viking player come out in the media and say anything about it at all. When you have a guy like that and you have an organization like the Vikings have and with their coach, I think that JJ McCarthy's going to set the world on fire. And I think that they know something that nobody else knows.
JJ McCarthy's in a very good spot. And I like the point that he said, because you had Jalen Johnson, remember? You had also the wide receiver in DJ Moore come on out and basically made it clear that they didn't want Caleb Williams. Now, I think that was them just being good teammates to Justin Fields, but it went over the top, and I recognize that in the moment. And now all is good with DJ Moore, and all is good with Jalen Johnson, and all is good with Caleb Williams. But no one really said, oh, it's like unfortunate Sam Darnold's leaving. So I think people know what J.J. McCarthy could be capable there. And there's also a trusting factor in what Kevin O'Connell has done. But with how that team overachieved last year, even though they lost in the wild card round, but with how many wins they had in the regular season, now you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Aaron Jones back. And Sam Darnold, you could replicate what he did. But can you not only replicate it, can you be better? So I think J.J. McCarthy is the second most intriguing quarterback entering the NFL this year. And then in at number one, it's Brock Purdy. Because whether he gets paid or not, if he does get paid, it's can you live up to the hype? Can you live up to being a $50 million a year type of quarterback in this league? And maybe that number is a little bit closer to $60 million than it is $50 million a year. But if you don't get paid, you already lost Deebo Samuel. McCaffrey coming off an injury. Kittle has his own contract situation right now. Ayuk coming off an injury. Can you find a way to show that you're worth what you think you are worth? So those are my five most intriguing quarterbacks entering the 2025 season. One, Brock Purdy. Two, J.J. McCarthy. Three, Caleb Williams. Four, Justin Herbert. And five, Shador Sanders. Stu, give me a quarterback that's not in that top five that intrigues you entering this season.
So I am intrigued by Tua. Now, last year he only played 11 games, only had 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He was one of the breakout quarterbacks the year before, got paid. So the intrigue with him is, one, can he stay healthy? And two, can he become a top 10, 8 quarterback? Because right now he's definitely outside of that top 10.
I think the Dolphins are in the worst spot you could be in. They're not bad. They're not great. They're nowhere close to getting to a Super Bowl. They're nowhere close to contending to get to a conference championship game. No one's picking them to win that division. It's going to be Buffalo. And they did go all in, and clearly there's limitations where they could just make the playoffs or they could just miss it. Tua did show his worth last year, though. When he got hurt, that team stunk without him. But you, like you kind of alluding to in the Brock Purdy conversation, they paid him. So once you pay him, tough luck. Like, no one's going to want to hear those excuses. You got to go out and you got to show that you're worth that money. So even though Tua kind of proved his worth a little bit in his value when he was hurt, that's not the way that you want it to be done. You want it to be done with him winning a playoff game or him winning two playoff games or him having stats that would suggest that he's a top five quarterback or a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So that's a good one. Samter, what do we got?
Well, you know me. I have a list. No, I was going to go with Aaron Rodgers, but we don't know if he's going to be in the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, just what he's going to do, and does he have one more year left? But I think for me, the most intriguing one is a guy who went to the NFC Championship game last year, Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
You know, like, we know that he had a historic rookie season. Is he going to be the next guy? Is he going to take that mantle from the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons and the Patrick Mahomes when they start getting towards the twilight of their career and be the guy in the NFL? He has that talent. What he did last year was historic. So for me, as much as Caleb Williams has a lot to prove,
you want to see a little bit more from Daniels.
If Jaden Daniels takes that next step, he's going to be a
different level of stardom.
And he'll surpass Jalen Hurts in my eyes as far as, top five quarterback. If he takes that next step. Talent-wise, I think Jaden Daniels has.
Let's see him
Jalen
get to
Hurts.
A Super Bowl. Let's see him win a Super Bowl.
You know what? With the talent that he has on that team, what he did last year is almost as impressive as Jalen Hurts winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, hold on.
The Commanders are not a good team.
What they have, Terry McLaurin.
You've named one guy.
I'm just saying, like, it's not as if they have a bunch of scrubs. Football team.
Every team has like three or four good players. Overall, the Commanders roster and that team is not a great team.
it's not a great team, but I wouldn't say they're a bad team.
No, they're not a bad team, but like 90% of the quarterbacks, 80% of the quarterbacks in the NFL last year
have less than nine wins
with this roster.
I'm not crushing you for your opinion because what he did was so ridiculously impressive. But when you say it's more impressive than Jalen Hurts, let's just remind people.
I said almost as impressive.
Okay. Let me just remind people. Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That's the most impressive thing you could do in the NFL right now. But after that, it's in the zip code. You're not far off on that. It is in the zip code in terms of you took an organization that is usually associated with an outhouse and you brought them to the penthouse or, you know, pretty close to the penthouse. Maybe you let them off on the floor. They walked around. They got a tour. And then you said, go back in the elevator. Let's see if you have the money to stay in the penthouse. But you're in that ballpark as well. But yeah, you know, look at C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud actually had a better year than what people are going to give him credit for because the line stunk. All those wide receivers got hurt. And he still won a playoff game. But it could change very quickly from year one to year two, where now Jaden Daniels has kind of taken that baton from the shine that C.J. Stroud had. I would say, though, before I said Jaden Daniels, I'm intrigued by Justin Fields on one last opportunity. I don't expect it to be all that great, but I am intrigued by Anthony Richardson. Can he shut some people up? I'm intrigued by Trevor Lawrence, too, just to name some other quarterbacks in the NFL. I think it's a big year also for Jared Goff and Jordan Love in addition to that. And also, you know what? I think this is one that was left off the list. And I think we all left it off the list. What about Michael Penix Jr.? Drafted early at 8. They gave the money to Kirk Cousins. Had some good moments, you know, some slight few good moments at the end of the season. Now, what are you as a full-time regular season starter? And also, Bryce, there's a lot of intrigue. Bryce Young, too. We didn't talk about Bryce Young. Kyler Murray, we didn't talk about him. What about Geno Smith and Sam Darnold? This could be one of the most intriguing years that we have when it comes to quarterbacks.
We didn't even mention Dak. And I know that Dak is Dak, but it's still the Cowboys, and it's still Dak.
Yeah, but like, let's be real. Dak's going to show up. If he's healthy, he'll put up good stats. Come playoff time, if they're there, they'll choke. Like, that's what they do. Maybe they win a playoff game at most.
But the fact that we named like 16 quarterbacks, basically,
it's
Dak wasn't even one of them. There's just so many intriguing storylines behind center.
Like, put it this way. If you want to say who's intriguing entering this year in the NFL in terms of quarterback, Josh Allen, I get it. There's a storyline in terms of, can you find a way to outplay Mahomes? Well, he's outplayed Mahomes. He just hasn't been able to beat him. But you get what I'm saying. I'm not going to put him in there. I think there's legitimate intrigue with Tua. I think there's legitimate intrigue with Justin Fields. I think there's legitimate intrigue with Drake May. Shedeur Sanders, if he's starting for the Steelers, whoever starts for the Steelers, a legitimate intrigue. The Bengals, I think there's intrigue with Joe Burrow because you were able to keep Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. The Browns, not really intrigue, if I'm being honest. If Shedeur lands there, a different story. But right now with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, not so much. C.J. Stroud, can you take that next step? Anthony Richardson intrigue. Trevor Lawrence intrigue. You have Cam Ward, number one overall pick intrigue. Mahomes, no intrigue, obviously. Justin Herbert intrigue. Bo Nix, can you replicate it intrigue like Santer saying with Jaden Daniels? Geno Smith intrigue. Like, think about that. There's so much intrigue right now out of these quarterbacks. Santer made a good case for Daniels. Whoever's playing for the Giants, if it's Russell Wilson, maybe not. The Cowboys, not really. Jalen Hurts, not really. Goff, yes. McCarthy, yes. Love, yes. Williams, yes. Baker, not really a lot of intrigue. I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Penix, intrigue. Panthers, intrigue. Derek Carr, what the heck's going to happen with him? Is he hurt or not? That's intriguing. Stafford, not really a lot of intrigue. Just how many more years is he going to play? Sam Darnold, intrigue. Kyler Murray, intrigue. Brock Purdy, intrigue. Think about how many intriguing quarterbacks we have this year. I think I like didn't name like only four or five that I would say are not intriguing. Wild, wild, wild. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is Aaron Rodgers about to play himself? We'll give you that answer next. All right, I'm going to ask a simple question. I'm curious what the answer is. If let's say on Thursday night, and it's going to be a two-part question. I'll give you the first part here. If on Thursday night, Shedeur Sanders falls all the way to the Steelers at 21, is that it for Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh? Do they then say, you know what, Aaron, you waited too long. We were ready to go. We're not going to then sign you because we'd rather rock and roll with Shedeur. And if we need to throw Mason Rudolph to the Wolves the first few weeks of the season, we'll do that. Stu, If Shador is drafted by the Steelers, does that mean you then anticipate them being out on Aaron Rodgers?
I would think so. I don't think the juice would be worth the squeeze if they have Shador, even if he's maybe you don't know if he's going to be ready for week one, but still, like, you're going to use him this year. I don't think having Rodgers as a quarterback backing him up at some point is a good idea.
Samter, what's your answer here?
Yeah, I think so.
You think that what? That they would bring in Rodgers or no?
No, I think that I honestly think that, you know, there's a fracturing, it seems like, happening in the locker room, maybe, that players are getting fed up with this.
Yeah, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt.
So the fact that the Steelers have come out and said, like, Rodgers' decision doesn't impact them, I feel like they have to just tell their locker room, like, hey, we're not going to put up with this nonsense. Now, those guys, they want to win. I get it. They want to win now, mm-hmm. right? They're older. But at a certain point, you just have to say, like, we're not putting up with this junk.
I actually think if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you feel like you have a chance to win a playoff game. And that's how kind of sad the standard has fallen for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if you ask me, would you rather have Rodgers for a one-year chance to win a playoff game in what could be his final season in the league, or would I rather have the hope, and even if it's a little bit of a bumpy road to begin with Shador Sanders, would I rather have the hope long-term there? I would rather have the long-term hope if I'm a Steelers fan when it comes to Shador Sanders. Now, here's the second question. Let's just say I'm right, that Shador goes to the Steelers at 21, and then I agree that would then be them out on Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers not only playing football next year, but let me answer that and say maybe he's not. You know, the Vikings then don't get back in on him. Maybe he makes a pitch to the Steelers. Oh, it's a one-year run, like I was saying to the Vikings, a one-year run, and I'll be a great mentor to Shador. And maybe Mike Tomlin's like, yeah, we don't want to do that. Then there's really no destination for him unless if an injury occurs either during the season or in the build-up to the season. So what's the one word that you would use if Aaron Rodgers gets played here where he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then basically he took himself out of any tangible destination that we could think of right now? If that's the end of Aaron Rodgers' career, what's the one word that you would use to describe that still?
Disappointing.
Okay.
Because I think when you take everything into account with what he could have been, just the one Super Bowl and how it's ended, it's kind of going to be a disappointing ending.
Samter, what would your one word be?
Pathetic.
I thought you were going to say joyous. I really did. You despise Rodgers.
For me, I want my quarterback to put his head down and get his ass to work. Right, like, I hated Tom Brady, but I respected the hell out of him because the one thing the dude did was he didn't...
Hardest worker in the history of the NFL.
Worked his butt off, got on his teammates on the sideline, showed passion and emotion, was the first one in the building, the last one out of the building, treated his teammates with respect on and off the field, even if he was angry about certain things, never called people out. He was a grinder, and he was good, and he was smart, and he would talk to the media... And he would hold back. We see how he could be now and open, but Rodgers is everything that Brady, he's the opposite of everything that Brady has ever been.
Yes.
Opposite of everything.
Mm-hmm. And Rodgers has more talent, and Brady outworked him, and Brady was the better quarterback because of that. Now, Psych Manter in the YouTube chat said, here's my one word, sucker! I kind of love that. That's a great job by Psych Manter. I'll give you my one word, sad. Think about this. This is one of the top 10 most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. Arguably, just in based of talent, maybe top 5. He has all these MVPs. And right now, at the end of his career, he may have to hope that either someone gets hurt this offseason, the Vikings go back on their word, or that the Steelers don't draft Shador, or even if they do draft Shador on Thursday night, then they at least still be interested in him. Wherever he goes, he's not playing for a championship. And let's be real, that's why you wanted to see Aaron Rodgers play another season. It was not that many of us thought he can because he hasn't been great in 3 years. But for the last 6 or 7 years, the question with Aaron Rodgers, can you get another Super Bowl? Can you get to another one? Can you win another one? And we know the answer is going to be no. So I think it's a sad ending to the career if Aaron Rodgers potentially gets shut out of playing this year in the NFL. But you waited, you dragged your feet. And you kind of get in what you deserve, because you could have made a decision by now and already said, oh, I'm going to Pittsburgh, and maybe we're not talking about the Steelers drafting Shador on Thursday night. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll update some of the biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio next. We call that segment the News Brief. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Clippers guard Chris Dunn. And last night, it's 105-102 win over the Nuggets. Dunn had three steals and a block. LA as a team forced Denver into 20 turnovers. Good tweet here, by the way, from Antoine Burrell, who's listening to us. Zach, the Steelers said earlier today that they are bringing in four quarterbacks to camp. They'll have four quarterbacks go to training camp. That's fine. So I guess Rodgers still could be in play. But if you're drafting Shador sitting in there at 21, are you going to then bring in necessarily Aaron Rodgers to fulfill that quarterback room? All right, now you have Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson does nothing for me. Mason Rudolph, let's be real, doesn't do anything for me. But at least he does something for people in Pittsburgh because they keep on bringing him there. So if you get Shador, that's three. Just because you want to bring four quarterbacks to camp, and Omar Khan said that earlier this morning, doesn't mean that the fourth quarterback you're bringing in would be Aaron Rodgers, especially after you would potentially draft Shador Sanders. But a good tweet and a good line that was thrown out there by Omar Khan, who in his pre-draft press conference, right, Schefter even put it out there, we go to camp with four quarterbacks right now. We have two on the roster, all options on the table on how we acquire those last two. Let's update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Peter Schrager on the ESPN, his new home earlier today. Possibility that the Giants and Browns could be trading down?
There have been phone calls made to both the Browns at two and the Giants at three with the intention to move up, from several different sources telling me there are teams who are looking to get up in this draft to either the two or the three spot. The assumption being to move up to the two or the three spot, it would be four: Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or the running back, Ashton Jeanty, who everyone expects to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 to 8 range. There have been teams making calls, and those teams are not immediately slamming down the phone.
Yeah, you can entertain the phone call. I don't think that if you're both passing up on quarterbacks with the Browns and the Giants, and no one is moving up to go get a quarterback, even though I think Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are the two best players in the draft in that order, so maybe you get a king's ransom for one of those two. I think if you're passing up on the quarterback, you're 2 and 3 in the Browns or the Giants, you need to go get Abdul Carter. You need to go get Travis Hunter. So I think that the first four picks of the draft, once again, Cam Ward number one to Tennessee, Travis Hunter number two to Cleveland, Abdul Carter number three to the Giants, and I do think Will Campbell will go four to the Patriots. Todd McShay on the Todd McShay podcast. The Giants are split on what to do with the third overall pick.
Until I tell you, or maybe Schefter breaks it or something else, like, all the information I'm getting, and it's from trusted sources, is that it's going to wind up being Abdul Carter at three, even though there are people in the Giants building, as we talked about yesterday, that are pushing for Shador Sanders.
I could see that they've done a lot of work with Shador, more than any other team in the league. So I could see why you're still pushing for him, and maybe there's some in there. Well, if we all want to keep our jobs, maybe we need to go take Shador Sanders. So yesterday this article came out. There is a lawsuit that accuses Shannon Sharp of sexual assault and battery. Tony Busby is actually representing. He was the attorney that started everything against Deshaun Watson. He is actually representing the woman who is proceeding with this lawsuit. So Shannon Sharp responded to this lawsuit earlier this morning in this video.
This is a shakedown. I'm going to be open, transparent, and defend myself because this isn't right. This is all being orchestrated by Tony Busby, who has targeted Jay-Z. Tony Busby targets black men, and I believe he's going to release a 30-second clip of a sex tape that tries to make me look guilty and play into every stereotype you could possibly imagine. That video should actually be 10 minutes or so. Hey, Tony, instead of releasing your edit, put the whole video out. I don't have it, or I would myself. You know what happened, and you're trying to manipulate the media. The encounter in question took place during the day at her invitation, And now that appears to be a deliberate setup, coordinated by Gabby, also known as Carly on OnlyFans. Gabby and Tony Busby want $50 million. What they're getting is sued for defamation and trying to take me down. My career is all about real talk and honesty. I know my family and fans know exactly what this is about.
So let me be clear here. I'm not saying Shannon Sharp did this. I'm not saying he didn't do this. I don't know. But how many times when someone gets accused of something and they stay silent, a lot of people will say, oh, well, if I didn't do this, I'd be speaking out against it. Sometimes you're advised not to do so by your attorney. He at least addressed this as clearly as he could and said that, even to the point where, oh, go release the 10-minute video. You know, why only release 30 seconds? Go release the 10-minute part of this video where you could use your imagination of what's going on the way that it was described. So I don't know what happened here, but it is weird when something like this happens. Or not weird, that's not the right word. It's unusual when something like this happens that someone addresses it this directly. Here is the recorded phone call with Shannon Sharp and his accuser. This was recorded by the accuser.
Anything I say, you're just going to, like, get mad at, and you're just going to hang up on me, so I feel like...
I'm not going to hang up on you. It is what it is.
What does that even mean?
Nothing, Gabby. You want to be a to me now, so...
I don't want to be... Don't manipulate me.
Oh, no, have mercy. If you said that one more time, I'm going to choke the out of you when I see you. Thank you.
Well, I don't want to be choked.
Yes, you do. I don't think you have a choice in the matter.
So if that phone call is literally second by second, yeah, that's not a good look for Shannon Sharp saying you're going to choke the girl the moment that she said, oh, I don't want to be manipulated by you. So that's what we have on that. Let's go to, this is a weird news brief today, I'll tell you. The Cavender twins. I actually saw this. I think this is at UFC because they were there. And this was at Miami for UFC 314. And Kai Trump was there, right? Her grandfather is Donald Trump, the president, and he was at UFC. And Kai Trump was having a conversation with the Cavender twins, who were both ripping Carson Beck. One of the Cavender twins used to date Carson Beck, and now they're no longer a couple. Here was that little conversation.
Nobody likes him!
And he wouldn't talk to him. He had, like, an ego. He's like, he wanted people to stop him and, like, take a picture.
He would, like, flip off people in the bar, and I'd be embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'd be, like, very embarrassed, and I was like, oh, my God, how are you? Yeah. Anywho, so, like, I broke up with him. And then I broke up with him, and, like, all these cheating shit came out. I had no idea. I didn't break up with him because of cheating. I broke up with him because of, like, who he was.
Yeah, so, I don't know. You could obviously date someone, and then you realize they're not the person that you thought you were dating. But it's tough to say that nobody liked him as you were dating him, right? Or if it was the sister who said that, like, nobody liked him. Like, you had to like him to some extent. But that's just a weird whole situation right there. Now, one of the twins got engaged recently to the tight end Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys. So I guess that's the end on the whole Cavender twin situation for this show today. Let's go to Charles Barkley, NBA on TNT. Here's a message for Nico Harrison.
Listen, man, I consider you a friend of mine, Nico Harrison. Man, don't do no more press conferences. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. I really don't. Like, I got sympathy and love for you, but I have zero idea what you're trying to do. This war is over, brother. You got to take, you taking the L. I hope you keep your job. I hope that team get healthy. But, man, don't do any more interviews. Please don't.
I said this like 3 weeks ago. Every time this guy opens his mouth, whether it's on the record or it's off the record or it's made to be public or it's made to be behind the scenes, he's trying to justify a situation right now that you can't justify. You don't look good in it right now, Nico Harrison. So shut up. Stop talking. And it's rare that I would advocate for a president of basketball operations, general manager, to not talk. But in this case, it doesn't do you any well because you think you're the smartest guy in the room. You think, oh, well, just because my guys got hurt this year, I wasn't able to prove that this move was right. You're not going to look good in trading Luka Doncic, getting very little back in return by just telling us, oh, well, if we're healthy, this is going to happen. You got to prove it. Because last year with Luka, what did you do? You got to the NBA Finals. Now, you're the biggest joke in the NBA. You're also the biggest joke in sports. And you should just shut up and work in silence until you prove people wrong. And then you could pop off and speak. But until then, shut up. All right? It's that simple. Alrighty. Alexander Ovechkin. Like, does this guy need another feather in his cap? He already has the most goals of all time. Last night in overtime, he got the Caps to take a 1-0 series lead up against the Canadiens in the first round. Here's how it sounded on the Capitals radio network.
As the puck comes toward Beauvillier, Ovechkin was in the vicinity and a shot here from Beauvillier. It's hit! They score! And Ovechkin got it! His first overtime game winner! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal! Alex Ovechkin, the overtime game-winning goal! Caps lead the series 1-0.
Kind of crazy. So he has the most goals in the history of the NHL, we know that. Last night, he has 2 goals and an assist. He nets the game winner in overtime. He's never had a playoff overtime goal with how long he's been in the league. That, to me, was the remarkable part. And I know for years, right, the Caps did struggle in the postseason, but he has won a Stanley Cup. So that was crazy last night when I heard that, and I didn't know that. And they had it on the TV call. They were like, oh, he's never had an overtime game-winning goal in the postseason. And then literally 15 seconds later, there it is! It finally has happened. All righty, we'll take a timeout. Hour number one in the books. What a quick first hour of this Tuesday show. We're coming on back after these short messages. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and streaming on YouTube. You can always give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, or you can follow me on social media at Zach Gelb, ZACHGLB.